The first day of August meant the first day of pads for the Baltimore Ravens at 2022 training camp. We talk about notes from that practice, what the initial suspension of Deshaun Watson means for the Ravens, and more next year on Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. And I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And thank you for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms that includes on YouTube. And we're back here. It's August 2nd today, and August 1st, which was yesterday, marks the first day of pads for the Ravens at training camp. And it brings out that physicality aspect to it. It is a clear bump in physicality, and again, it gives the coaching staff a little bit more to work with in terms of gauging what they have in terms of talent on their roster. So today we're going to dive into all the notes from yesterday's practice, talking about who stood out, who didn't, which side of the ball won, etc. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to be diving into that in the first two segments, so we'll just be talking notes from guys who were there and talking about their observations. And then in the final segment, we'll be moving into the Deshaun Watson situation. And the first initial suspension for Deshaun Watson was handed down by Judge Sue Robinson. And we're going to talk about what that means for the Ravens, because Deshaun Watson, as it stands right now, if the suspension does stand at what is six games, the first game Deshaun Watson will play will be week 7 against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. So dive into everything, how that all works out and whatnot. So a ton to talk about here today, a bunch of practice notes to dive into. It's all exciting stuff. If you hear this on YouTube, thank you so much for tuning in video form. Be sure to subscribe, like this video. Thank you to everybody who subscribed already. If you're new and you're thinking about it, we put out daily Ravens content 5 days per week. So if you want those Ravens news analysis updates, we're here for you. In audio form, the same thing. Thank you so much for tuning in there, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I greatly appreciate that. Be sure to follow along and give a 5-star review wherever you're listening. I greatly appreciate that as well. And also be sure to follow me on Twitter at KevinOstreicher34 and the Locked On Ravens account. Before we dive into the content, though, future me here. And again, the video and audio desynced around like the halfway point of the episode. I don't know what the issue is. I'm trying to figure out. I apologize. The audio is still fine. The content's still great. And if you're in audio form, it doesn't even matter. But I just wanted to put that out there and make everybody aware. So again, you don't see it happen. You're like, why is it doing this? But let's dive into that content here now. But let's talk about these practice notes here. Again, pads, it's all these checklists, check notes, things we've been talking about where you're kind of taking steps to the preseason, the regular season. So we've kind of heard and seen about what the Ravens are doing, not in pads, but now with the pads coming on. The first day is always exciting with pads. It feels like there's always a different energy out there on the field. So a big thing that Kyle Barber had to say from Baltimore Beatdown is the fact that you remember about that Kyle Hamilton play from the stadium practice and the demise that everybody was saying that, you know, Kyle Hamilton's never going to be able to cover this, this, and that. Well, Hamilton had a very, very good day of practice, and Kyle kind of talked about that a little bit, how he had that demise be a little bit exaggerated by a lot of people. And he said that he jammed Isaiah Likely at the line, broke up a pass, and then later in 11-on-11s, he covered Mark Andrews one-on-one, had another pass breakup there. Clifton Brown went into detail about it too, because there's a lot of things from Kyle Hamilton that make him look good. I mean, he was a top prospect for a reason, and one play is not going to define him. And the thing that I like about Kyle Hamilton, and Clifton Brown talked about in his practice notes, is the fact that he was also a force against the run here in practice. He knifed into the backfield quickly on a toss play. And if the Ravens had been working with full contact, again, pads don't mean full contact. It just means it, kind of a step up in physicality. Hamilton was in the position to make a tackle for a loss. So look, for a rookie's first pad of practice to have all those plays to kind of almost bounce back after facing a little bit of adversity. And I know, look, it's one play. He understands it's one play. A lot of people do, and I do as well. To be able to respond from that and all the friedness that he was getting, he said he was getting fried on the app. So to have all that happen to him on Twitter and bounce back from that and say, hey, look, this is what I am, that's a good thing from him. So I was excited to hear about Kyle Hamilton and the fact that he was able to do a lot of good things in practice. And also, we had a couple of Ravens news and notes here that I guess we can talk about now. One, some injury updates. We had Ben Cleveland return to practice after passing his conditioning test. So congratulations to Ben Cleveland on that. I still think Tyree Phillips wins the job. I think Ben Cleveland is the backup, and Ben Powers gets traded. But we will see how that all plays out. It's good that Cleveland is back there. He's going to be able to compete if he has a great preseason, very, very strong training camp from here on out. We could see him win that job, but he was back at practice. Very, very glad about that. I'm glad that whole situation is over. I'm sure he is too, honestly. And then two players not practicing, and new faces not practicing, were Devin Duvernay, wide receiver, and Juwan James, offensive tackle. Now, for Duvernay, the thigh bruise that he suffered in the Saturday practice, I'm sure, again, it was just precaution. I'm sure trying to just not force guys in there, not trying to stretch anybody out too bad. You just want to be careful, and I think that's the right decision. And then Juwan James, kind of the same thing. John Harbaugh said he had a nagging type deal, so whether that is continuing the recovery of the Achilles tear he suffered last offseason, I don't know. He didn't really get into specifics, but said that he was looking good, was playing on the left side, and obviously Juwan James being a right tackle, him playing on the left side, is a bit of that adjustment period we were kind of talking about last year with Alejandro Villanueva moving from left to right, because Villanueva played left tackle for pretty much all of his career. So it's kind of an adjustment period there, but yeah, just a couple of injury notes overall. But this practice was one that was dominated by the defense. And sometimes you have those practices where the one unit will dominate over the other. And in this one, it was the defense. A lot of praise from Adafe Owe coming out about how he looked very fast off the edge, very disruptive off the edge. And that's one of the things we were talking about with Adafe Owe coming out of college, where he had the no sacks, and everyone was talking about, oh, well, how are you going to draft a guy in the first round that didn't have any sacks in his last year at college? There's a lot more to Adafe Owe than just pure sack numbers. He is a disrupting force off of the edge, very good in that aspect, and sacks don't tell the whole story, and we saw that he racked up a couple of sacks over the first couple of weeks of last year, so he wasn't completely dry in that department. But over the course of practice, he was somebody who really stood out to a lot of different people, and that's a great thing, because with the Ravens and their outside linebacker situation with Tyus Bowser and David Ajabo on the PUP list, trying to figure out what's going on there and if they're going to start the year on the PUP list or if it's going to be an IR stint or whatnot, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys step up, and OA being the clear number one pass rusher, in my opinion. I think he's the number one guy, Justin Houston, number two. That's going to be big. I mean, Kyle Barber talking about how there were multiple dead plays due to Adafe Owe and the consistent pressure on Lamar Jackson throughout the entire day. And that's huge. I mean, that's really big. And I think when you're looking at also Jonah Schaefer talking about how Owe has been a terror off the edge in this practice, I'm very excited about Adafe Owe. I think it's funny because the two biggest breakout candidates I have in terms of almost the entire NFL, like you can put these guys in the biggest breakout candidates for the entire league, are Rashad Bateman, Baltimore's first round pick in 2021, and Adafe Owe, Baltimore's first round pick in 2021. So the two guys drafted four picks away from each other, I think both of them are going to have really, really good seasons. And Rashad Bateman, Jonah Schaefer did say that he should have had a couple more catches than he actually did at practice, but the accuracy was not there from Lamar Jackson. And actually, Lamar Jackson's stats in this practice, Jonas put him up here, 10 of 15 and 11 on 11 works, but settled for a lot of checkdowns. So seemed like the defense really, I mean, the Ravens had to have that whole play of the day thing. The defense was the spotlight in that. It just seemed like it was an overall dominant defensive practice, which is good. I mean, it's good to have the iron sharpens iron mentality here. We've been talking about it a lot with Marlon Humphrey versus Rashad Bateman. And it's been nice to see the Ravens kind of be able to not have one unit dominate throughout the entire course of training camp, right? Like there have been some offensive wins and some defensive wins. And hopefully with the pads coming on here, we will see kind of that balance again. Some days the offense will win, other days the defense will win. But this gives me confidence for their defense. You know, the Ravens offense is not this bottom five offense. It has a lot of talent on it, and it doesn't even have all the talent yet. So they're trying to work in new pieces, figuring out who goes where, but we've heard a lot of good things, and that's what I'm really excited about there. You also have Marlon Humphrey making a nice recovery to break up a deep pass intended for Rashad Bateman. We talked about OA a lot, disruptive force coming off the edge, hurrying the quarterback's throws, and there was a lot of struggles in two-minute drills, according to Clifton Brown. And that's a big part of things, too. We saw the Ravens late in the season last year collapse in late season or late game situations, right? Late in the season, late games were not the Ravens' friend whatsoever. I mean, the defense played pretty well overall. Like, I will say, compared to what we had seen from them over the first part of the year, there was there was a lot of improvement in a lot of different areas, but the 2-minute defense, when they were going up against 2-minute offenses, it was rough at times. The Ravens gave up a lot of points late in games, which ended up, you know, they would lose by one, lose by two. And we talked about how close those games were. It was just a bit outside their reach. And the defense just gave this up. And obviously the offense wasn't scoring points. So I'm not saying it was all the defense's fault. But having this happen now in practice, figuring out what you have in your 2-minute drill situations on defense and having them be successful against the Ravens offense, I think that's a very big thing. So we'll be diving into more training camp notes from the first day I've had a practice in our second segment here. We'll be diving into that and more coming up on the show. So be sure to stay tuned, still to talk about here. But first, I do want to tell you a bit about Built Bar. And if you haven't tried the Built Bar Puffs yet, you're really depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And there's a new flavor now. You have the delicious and indulgent cookie dough. They're covered in chocolate, and they have done it again because the cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. You can run to built.com to snag a box for yourself and the family. It's really the perfect treat. And like all Built Bars, new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. What's good about the Built Bars is that they have all of their bars made with proteins, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits as well. And so you're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your order, use promo code LOCKED15. We're back. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olszewski, your host, still here with you. And thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen today. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube, like this video, be sure to follow us in audio form and follow along there. Thank you so much again. But let's continue talking about this practice from yesterday, the first pride of practice of 2022 training camp for Baltimore on August 1st. We're here today, obviously, on August 2nd. But you also had a lot of great things in terms of defensive lineman Travis Jones. And we talked about Travis Jones yesterday. We talked about him and how he was a stud during Saturday's open practice at M&T Bank Stadium. He had another good practice yesterday, as Clifton Brown saying that he had a sack when he muscled his way into the backfield and put himself in the path of quarterback Tyler Huntley. And actually, Huntley fell to the ground when trying to avoid Jones. And I've said it so many times, I cannot express how excited I am about Travis Jones. He's a player that just fills a lot of a skill set need. Sometimes you don't necessarily have a positional need, where I think this is a good example for the defensive line. A positional need is one where, look, you need quality guys. You have a pure need there. You need to add multiple players, and it's like not even a question about it. The Ravens, they needed to add some guys on the defensive line, but they added Michael Pierce and, you know, bringing back Calais Campbell and whatnot. But a skill set need for that defensive line unit when they have that talent, it was interior pass rush. And Travis Jones fills that skill set need, and he's been a standout overall throughout camp. And he also is someone who I think might not have this huge, massive role coming out in week one, because we have seen the Ravens kind of favor some veterans early on. But I think if he makes the most of his opportunities, he will be able to carve out a big role for himself when it comes to, I don't know, maybe after the bye or something. And when we're talking like at the end of the season, we could have him in the Ravens key rotation for the defensive line. So that's something I'm super excited about. Also, we talked about how Kevon Seymour was a dud from the Ravens stadium practice. And look, he was on the receiving end of quite a few of those big plays that we saw throughout the course of the night. He was really good on Monday, and a lot of praise drawn for Kevon Seymour. He made nice pass breakups on passes intended for James Prochet and Jalen Moore. But on the opposite end of that spectrum, talking about that wide receiver battle, it seems like Jalen Moore has established himself almost as like the early leader for that number five receiver job. Now, we don't know how many receivers the Ravens are keeping. Is it going to be five? Is it going to be six? I highly doubt it's going to be seven. I think it's in that 5 to 6 range. But Jalen Moore made some nice catches over the course of Monday's practice. We talked about him as a stud from Saturday's practice, has been establishing himself. He's a player that is coming on very strong early on. I feel like some of the guys that we've been talking about a lot, Jalen Moore, Slade Bolden, Shamar Bridges, some of those players who have established themselves. And again, we'll see how it all works out when the physicality continues to be upped in practice, when the preseason games happen. But so far, it's been a very impressive early start to training camp for Jalen Moore. So that's really exciting. Also, rookie center Tyler Linderbaum got a lot of experience, I'd say. It seems like Clifton Brown has here. that he was pushed into the backfield on one play by Michael Pierce, but did stand up to inside linebacker Patrick Queen on another blitz when the Ravens were actually sending a lot of guys and he prevented Queen from getting into the backfield. So a lot has been made about Tyler Linderbaum's size. And obviously I have been pretty consistent saying I'm not going to knock a guy completely for their size. There are aspects of it that do matter, right? But I think if a guy can play, a guy can play. But there are advantages to having more size. But if you don't have the size, it's not like you're automatically going to be a terrible player. So we will see how it works out. I mean, look, Michael Pierce is a big guy. Like he is a very big human. So it doesn't necessarily shock me. But Linderbaum, again, one of the best center prospects to come out in years from college, has a ton of skill, can work in space. I mean, he's somebody who the Ravens, I think, will enjoy having on their line and will have a lot more good plays than bad plays, I'll say. So it was good to kind of have him get this experience in camp. You don't want it happening in the regular season, right? You'd rather have it happen in camp with your own guys where you can teach that up and say, hey, maybe we need some more functional strength here. Maybe your technique can be different there. So we'll see how that works. But I think for Baltimore, it was good to get him that experience overall. And I feel like for Baltimore, this practice was, I think, a good stepping stone. The first day of pads, it is different, right? You're not always going to, I would hope everybody's prepared, but it's a different vibe from everything. So when you're looking at what it means for the team, I'm not going to put too much stock into practices, but I'm going to put some, right? I'm not going to say the stuff that happens in practice is meaningless. Like it is meaningful, but it's all part of a bigger picture. And I think that's the more important part to recognize here, because when you're looking at guys like Jalen Moore, like let's go back to Jalen Moore, for example. He's a player that could have this amazing training camp. Like we've gone through and over recent years, we've gone through the camp standouts at wide receiver, Miles Boykin. We could talk about Ravens legend, Jeremy Butler, right? There are so many of those guys where it just doesn't translate over, but it means something, right? These guys are able to perform against really talented players. So for a competition like wide receiver, that is really, I call it a tight competition, getting the extra physicality against these corners, this, you know, the physicality aspect, I think, helps out the defense a lot. You know, without the physicality aspect, you can't jam at the line. You can't do a lot of things. There's a lot that the defense cannot do in those situations. So it doesn't necessarily shock me the defense won the first day, but it is a good stepping stone to say, hey, can the offense return from that and figure it out? And for Jalen Moore, he beat Brandon Stevens during a one-on-one drill for a double move on a 40-yard touchdown. He made a strong play to secure a catch versus Pepe Williams during 11-on-11. So he was, I mean, again, he's somebody who had a great day of practice. And he also had the Rashad Bateman, Marlon Humphrey battles continuing to go on. They matched up twice in one-on-ones, according to Jess Rebick of The Athletic. Bateman got a step off the line of scrimmage on Humphrey on the first one-on-one, but Lamar Jackson actually didn't get the ball out far enough, and that allowed Humphrey to break up the pass. And on the second one, Bateman had a bit of separation but was overthrown. So again, a couple of those catches, you know, Jonah Schaefer saying he should have had a couple more catches than he did. Part of that was the accuracy. So we'll see. No quarterback going to have perfect accuracy, right? You know, people will say, oh, he overthrew Rashad Bateman, or he didn't get the ball there. Oh, he's not accurate. It's not what it is. So I think for the Ravens with this padded practice, I'm excited to see what they can do over the course of the rest of these. And as training camp continues to go in and kind of making sure that they can get everybody involved and everybody stepping up. Again, we didn't hear a ton out of a couple of players. The guys I talked about yesterday, like Mekhi Polk, Malik Harrison, we didn't really hear a lot from. These are all players that are fighting for either roster spots or playing time. And it's important because when you're looking at practice, and I'll kind of go back to the whole practice situation, there's a lot to take into account, because I think there's almost the you're going up against your own guys aspect, which is why I think in the past we've seen the joint practices with teams, like with Carolina last year, for example. It's like a good break. And obviously we're not to the point yet where the guys are tired of each other. Like the first day of pads, it's all exciting. It's all kind of newish. But when we get into like the second week and the third week and you're hitting the same guys over and over again, like we see training camp fights. We've seen training camp fights already happen. You know, it's just you want to hit something. And obviously they're not going full contact right now, so it's still not the peak physicality aspect of it all. I think when you get to the preseason, that's when you get to the feet physicality aspect. And those are going to be big games. Again, we're less than 2 weeks away from the preseason. Guys will be establishing themselves right now, getting on the field. I mean, Jalen Moore working with the second team offense. What does the first team offense look like in the preseason? right? Because I think, at least I'm pretty sure, that the Ravens aren't going to trot out every single player on their roster to play in the preseason. I think we're going to see a different approach from them. So if Jalen Moore gets in with the first team offense early on, and you know, you have Tyler Huntley out there running with the ones because they might not play Lamar Jackson, if he can establish himself against first or maybe second string, depending on who you're playing and what the talent out is out there, if you're establishing yourself there, it's just good marks on good marks on good marks, which is really big for that. So overall, defense got the better of the offense on day one of padded practices. And again, that might not be the case for the whole training camp. I hope it isn't. Actually, I think that'd not be a great sign for the offense, but we're going to see a lot more of this over the course of the next couple of weeks. We'll be diving into all the takeaways from it over the course of those next couple of weeks. And again, we'll be at the preseason really, really soon here. So that's another aspect of this whole thing, but we'll dive into more talking about Deshaun Watson next and his suspension, what that means for the Ravens coming up in our final segment of the show. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a ton to talk about here on Locked On Ravens. We're back. Our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And again, thank you so much for making Locked On Ravens your first listen of the day. Be sure to go check out Locked On NFL. Make that your second listen of the day. I hosted the Monday show over there. We talk about Julio Jones and DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, etc. Be sure to subscribe to us here on YouTube and follow us in audio form anywhere you get your podcasts. But let's now dive into the Deshaun Watson situation. Now, there's been a lot of anticipation about just how long the suspension would be for Deshaun Watson. If there would be a suspension, would it be no games? Would it be 4, 6, 8, 10, a year, indefinite? Well, there was finally a ruling by Judge Sue Robinson, and that ruling was 6 games. A lot of outrage throughout most channels here. I mean, look, personally, you know, there's a lot I can say about the topic, and I honestly, I'll just say it, I think it should have been a lot more. But when you're looking at what the Ravens have built, and John Harbaugh talked about this, he said that there's a lot he could say about the situation, and he said he's not going to dive into that whole thing, but he said that he's very proud of what the Ravens have built, you know, over the course of the last many, many years here in terms of culture, the zero tolerance policy. And honestly, I'm proud of him too. You know, it takes a lot to be able to do that. And honestly, like, look, you want certain people around your organization. I think the Ravens have done the right thing by making this zero tolerance policy and making sure that, look, they have the right guys on the field, but those guys are the right guys off the field too. So for Deshaun Watson, his 6-game suspension, if it holds, down the NFL and the NFLPA both have 3 days. Well, I think now it's going to be around 2 when this recording comes out, but they have 3 days once the suspension ruling is handed down to appeal. So if they don't appeal, if neither side appeals, it'll be 6 games and that'll be that. If the NFL decides to appeal, the situation is honestly pretty far from over. Now, Sue Robinson is an independent kind of arbitrator here, so the NFL will be going against that, and it opens up a lot. But if the NFL is true to their word, which was they were looking for a year in indefinite suspension, a longer one than he got, then maybe we could see that. But if the suspension holds, Watson will open up his season. He'll be eligible to open up his season against Baltimore in Baltimore, Week 7. It's a game that'll be a big one for the Ravens. And honestly, the Ravens might gain a few fans for that week. I won't lie. M&T Bank Stadium might be one of the like wildest places on earth in Week 7. I don't know how it's going to be if Watson plays. But I do know that for the first 6 games, Cleveland will not have Deshaun Watson if this whole thing stands. Now, their early season schedule is decently easy. Some people have him 4-2, others 3-3. But there is a big drop-off between a player like Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett. So if the Ravens were to be playing Jacoby Brissett in Week 7, I think their chances of winning that game would increase much more than if Deshaun Watson were to be playing in that game. Now, Watson, over the course of his career against Baltimore, is 0-2. He has 2 losses. Both those losses have come at the hands of Lamar Jackson. Those two, even dating back to college, have played a lot of very meaningful games and games that, you know, have come down to the wire. Now, some of the games in Baltimore have not been that case, and the Ravens have blown out the Texans. But it feels like if Watson is able to play in this one, there'll be so much hype surrounding the game. And Watson hasn't – look, part of this aspect, too, is Watson hasn't played in a really, really, really long time. And I personally – like if we want to talk a bit more about training camp, I think the Baltimore defense is going to be so much better than what we saw from them in 2021. The personnel, the scheme – everything combined, the execution, I think it's all going to be better. Now, with Cleveland, their wide receiver situation is a bit iffy right now. They have a couple guys dealing with injuries. David Bell, their third-round pick, Anthony Schwartz. They did trade for Amari Cooper, We'll see how that ends up working. Maybe they bring in a guy like Will Fuller. Hey, maybe Baltimore brings a guy like Will Fuller. I don't know. But the Ravens are going to have to be able to shut down Cleveland's run game and go from there. I think that having Deshaun Watson coming off of a six-game suspension, having him having not played in a very, again, it's a super long time. He didn't play all of 2021. And to be clear, that was him. He chose that. It wasn't a suspension. He chose that. But regardless, it's a big divisional game, and the Ravens will have to face him if this holds up for two matchups, whereas for a team like Pittsburgh, they're going to only have to face him once if it holds because the Steelers played the Browns earlier on in the season. Deshaun Watson came to Cleveland after many thought he was going to be going to either Carolina or Atlanta, and this whole legal situation has played out over the course of many different months. Many different things are factors in it, and for him, he's going to have to deal with a lot of questions. Again, a lot of opposing fans saying some things that I'm sure he'll have to hear for the rest of his career. So it's just an interesting thing. I mean, six games seems, again, to me like it is too little. But if it holds, the first game will be a big divisional matchup against the team for the first time. Deshaun Watson will get that AFC North introduction for the first time, coming off of that suspension, not playing for a while. So the talent he has around him is a lot better than he had in Houston, right? Like clearly the offensive talent with the run game there with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, the Browns, I think, had a very good draft as well, despite not having the first round pick. And that's another aspect of it too. Deshaun Watson in these six games is going to be losing around $345,000 out of a $230 million contract, fully guaranteed. So the Browns have stay pretty consistent saying that's how they structure their deals overall. I know a lot of people think that's very scummy in the whole thing with the whole first year being so low, that base salary being so low, which means so little money comes out of it in the suspension and whatnot. But you know, it's another aspect of this whole entire thing that has made this legal proceeding and has made this whole thing drag on for so long and trying to figure out just what is going on with the whole situation. But from a football perspective, and if you want to just talk about that football perspective, Watson is going to be in a division that has, I think, three very improved defenses. Now, Pittsburgh's defense has always been good, right? They've been an elite unit for a very long time. Baltimore's defense, I think, took an off year. they took kind of an off year. They still had a really good run defense, but their pass defense was bottom five, bottom three in a lot of categories. You also have Cincinnati's defense, which, you know, the additions of Trey Hendrickson and Awuzie as well at the cornerback position and whatever's going on with Jesse Bates, you got to figure that out. But their defense did improve. It's not the strength of their team. Their strength is definitely offense. But Watson's going to have to play up against a lot of good defenses, whereas in Houston, he was playing Jacksonville twice a year. You know, Tennessee's defense has been on and off. And Indianapolis' defense has been decent. You know, they've had a lot of good players over there. But the AFC North defensively is a lot more challenging than the AFC South defensively. So I think it will be an adjustment. I know that there are a lot of people out there who have the Browns making the playoffs right now. I do not. I think they are the third place team in the North, but I think the AFC, you're losing your starting quarterback for the first six games here, it's an every given Sunday league. The Browns could easily go, you know, 5-1. They could easily go 2-4. You got to take that into account. Jacoby Brissett is not the best quarterback in the world. I'll put that out there. So you got to take that into account as well. I still think this is a two-team race between the Bengals and the Ravens for the AFC North. I don't think the suspension changes much from a football perspective in terms of what I thought was going to happen with the division. Cleveland has talent all across the board. I think they've built their roster very well in terms of, you know, running back and on the defense. I think their defense is a bit better than people give them credit for. But I still have Cleveland finishing as the third place team in the division. I just don't think, you know, if Jacoby Brissett gets them off to a 3-3 start with the AFC, with the back half of the schedules and everything, the divisional games for them at the end of the year, I don't see them finishing anywhere better than third. I think Pittsburgh is probably the last place team in the AFC North. And again, this is all subject to change, right? It's August predictions. So by the time we get to September, maybe stuff changes and maybe Cleveland is fourth, maybe Cleveland is second. I don't know. But I think for what we have now, there is the initial suspension of Deshaun Watson. That is six games. We'll be facing off against the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium in Week 7 for his first game in a Cleveland Browns uniform. If the whole thing stands, obviously we still have to figure out if the NFL is going to appeal. The NFLPA said they haven't, but we will see. So yeah, just a ton to dive into and a ton to digest. And for everything that's happened over these last couple months with that situation, for only six games, again, it just doesn't feel right. But again, the NFL is a business. If they don't appeal, I think it'll say a lot. So we'll figure out what the decision from them is in the coming days here and what it all means for the NFL. And if it does stand, Baltimore will have that eligibility thing. Deshaun Watson will be eligible to play in week 7 against the Baltimore Ravens in M&T Bank Stadium. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be continuing covering training camp throughout the course of it. We're going to be diving into takeaways, notes, observations, and more. So be sure to subscribe to this channel on YouTube, like the video. Be sure to follow us in audio form anywhere you get your podcast. Be sure to stay tuned for our next episode tomorrow, and I will see you back here tomorrow.